This is AO.
Hello, welcome back to the podcast again. I've got Mark here. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Esther. How are you?
Good, good. And once again, our lovely guest, me mother and me father.
Hello.
My mother, Melody.
Hi.
And my dad, Christopher.
You don't actually call me Christopher. What do you call me in the morning?
Crustacean. We have a lot of fond nicknames for each other.
We do.
Yeah.
What do you call me?
The mothership.
That's right.
Yeah. Esther's told us about that.
Yeah. I've made a lot of confessions on these podcasts that because I kind of knew Dad wouldn't listen. But yes, we have a lot of good little sayings and
we
things,
do.
Eh, Dad?
Yep. You know what you should do?
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
When you're offering your opinion. You know what you should do? Also, we have a Friday tradition.
That's right. Yep. Comes back from our Catholic roots.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What would that be? What
something you have on Friday?
Do Catholics don't eat on Friday?
No, what do they eat?
No, what don't they eat on Fridays?
Meat.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we have
fish and chips.
Friday.
Yep. F&C Friday.
Yep. So we call it F&C.
F&C.
So it's like, it'll be like 6:30 a.m. and we'll all be like, F&C, F&C, F&C. Then we text it to each other at lunchtime, F&C, F&C. And you walk in the door at 5:30, F&C, F&C, F&C. All the way down to the fish and chip shop to get your fish and chips. That's great.
Except more often than not, Chris will be the only one who eats it. And really? Esther and I will go for Thai or pizza or something.
I think ours delicious Indian. We've played all the takeaways now. But it's still called fish and
chip
Friday.
They're not true F&C followers because I still eat mine out of the paper. It's the only way to eat it.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It digs a little hole in the top.
So it keeps it hot. Yeah, some tartare or tomato.
Yeah.
They put them onto a cold plate and the fat congeals on it. You've got to eat it out of the paper, right? Burn your fingers.
Yeah.
Oh, crimea river.
So we have lots of fun. Lots of good sayings, lots of fun.
The three amigos, that's what we are.
Yeah, the three amigos.
Three amigos.
Except when we're not.
And then three's a crowd.
Yeah, that's right.
Go to your room.
Someone's the third wheel somewhere. Hey?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's great.
Oh, I'm really tired now. I think I'll go to bed.
So does Esther have any, do you have any nicknames for Esther?
Yeah, we call her Hebe. Hebe. Mm-hmm.
She's got a number plate.
Yeah, she's got a personalised number plate that says Hebe.
I give people the heebie-jeebies.
Yes. Something like that, yeah. That's probably the one that stuck. Her grandmother used to call her Sunshine, and I think that was really, really nice. Yeah, her nana died when she was only about 3 years old. But even then, Mum could see the beauty inside Esther. Mm. Yeah. She wears sunshine on her face, except when
thunder.
She doesn't.
It's a cloudy day. A sunny day or a cloudy day?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I wear my hat on my sleeve.
You too, yeah. Yeah, you can see that weather coming. Yeah,
honesty is the best policy. You know, there's no betting around the bush. Just tell it how it is.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. Very cool. Hey, no, and like Esther said, it's so good you guys could join us for the podcast.
Mm, thank you.
Enjoyed the
Such
last episode.
Nice surprise.
We enjoyed last week.
Yeah. Oh, no, very good. Going off the back of the last episode, I wanted to ask you, might start with Chris if that's all right, and like for you, you know, like you talked about quite a few things, but it came across to me like you're one of the, in this day and age, maybe one of the old school true gentlemen, which you just don't often get. I don't think, I mean, there are, but you know what I mean? It's, we kind of live in a loose world sometimes these days. So where did it start for you? You know, like where did those ethics and morals come from? And And I guess too in that there's a God factor in there as well. So
I suppose in my life really I have lacked a real father role model because my father was dysfunctional. He was in the lodge, and my mother said he always had a bad upbringing. So I think a lot of my morals have come from my mother.
Right.
I was very close to my mother.
But now, when you say in the lodge, Masonic lodge?
Masonic lodge, yeah.
Right, okay.
So, and that sort of mucked him up spiritually and emotionally and mentally, I think.
Yeah.
And, of course, my parents ended up getting a divorce as well, and I was in the house at about 18 when that went down, and it was quite nasty.
Yeah,
so there was a point in my life where it was so bad that I tried to commit suicide at one stage. It was
really?
Yeah, it's quite heavy.
Wow.
Yeah, so, but you get through that.
Yeah, well, can I just touch on that? Is that all right? What's stopped you from going through with that? Like,
well, actually, we used to have henlock down the house. Always knew it was deadly poison if you eat it. So I went and ate some and thought, well, I'm going to die. So I ate it and went to bed that night thinking I'm going to die. Now, I don't know whether it's deadly poison or not. I think it is poison, but I woke up the next morning. But the intention is that I did it and I went through with it and I woke up the next morning. So I don't know whether that's gold or not. So people may laugh at that, think, well, it's only henlock. But at the time,
it's poisonous, though. Yeah,
you know, it's
you
poisonous.
Serious.
You were serious.
Yeah, you were
and
serious.
Went through with it because it was a very heavy situation.
How old were you?
Oh, probably 18, 17, 18. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then it wasn't long after that that I found the Lord, probably a couple of years later, and became a Christian.
Right.
Yeah.
Chris is inherently quite a sensitive person. So,
you never say that.
So, you know, atmosphere in the home. It's always, you know, it affects you more deeply than you probably realise.
My love language is the spoken word, and so that's why I went into my own business, because I like words of praise.
Right.
But when I was a young fellow, I used to stutter quite badly.
Oh, true.
I remember my father yelling at me one morning saying, you know, you dummy, can't you speak properly, or stuff like that, you know. So that spoken word over my life, when my love language is the spoken word, was really cutting.
Right.
And so it breaks it in a man inside.
Yeah, it does. That's full on.
But talk about your mum.
So my mum was, she was a lovely person, very gracious and long-suffering and just an amazing, amazing woman, you know, very kind. I've never heard mum say a swear word or a bad word or anything like that, you know. And
yeah.
I remember mum getting up to us when we were sick in the night, holding a sick bowl like I do for my kids and holding the forehead when you're spewing. And she was just always there.
I think she had a really gentle soul, eh?
She did have a very gentle soul. Yeah. You know?
Real lover of people.
Yeah. Very family orientated. She's just an amazing woman. Just adjusting the microphone.
So, but then in that regard, you
we became very protective.
You've picked up your mum's nature as well.
Yeah, you know? and we saw that the negative environment that she was putting up with my father, who spoke negative words and breaking plates and threatened to bash her and this type of thing, where we were boys at 18, I remember, you know, standing up for her and, you know, family violence in the home. I remember having a swipe at my father one day and not quite connecting, but then my two brothers grabbed my father and held him back while I shot out the door. So there was that family violence in the home.
Wow.
And I thought he was going to kill me, but
Oh, it's full on.
it's not like once we're warriors, but you know, it's
yeah.
But yeah, different environment to what I've brought my own kids up, and you know, trying to, you know, be good.
That's amazing, because it, from what I can see there, because often when you're around that behaviour, you learn it, and so, but God's really worked in you.
Well, I think meeting Melody's dad was really and my pastor, Barry Buckley, who came from Gore to be the prince of the Bible school, and then he went to the church in Napier, NCF.
Yeah.
And Mel's dad, who's an amazing, I've never met a man like Mel's dad, and he's been a real gap filler in my life and a role model as well.
Right.
You know, he's a very generous, kind, and he spoke my love language. He said that, you know, you can do anything you want to, you put your mind to, and you know, you're a winner and an overcomer, you know, totally opposite.
That's full on.
He's called gold out of you, hasn't he?
He has. Yeah, amazing. Yeah. He's given me a Harley Davidson. Boy.
Yeah.
You know.
He gave you one?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he gave me two, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you still have them?
I've still got the Harley. Yeah.
We've got one.
We sold one because he's in a home. And right. We need it to generate funds to keep him in that home there because he's had a stroke.
Oh.
But amazing man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Oh, it's so far.
So you compare, it's like a story of two dads, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm. Yeah.
And you've got one who who's polar opposite to the other. And, you know, you can learn off one or you can learn off the other.
Yeah.
And for Chris, he just had to learn a whole new way of how to be a dad in a home and how to be a husband and father.
Mm. Well, boarding in Melody's house, you know, it was like he died and gone to heaven because it was such a positive environment. It's just positive and godly and
happy. Very
wealthy. Like I come from a working class family and
they're
very wealthy, but they're not, snobby. No, look at me, snobby. They're farmers, they're dairy farmers, and they worked hard, you know.
Yeah.
And the uncles were amazing as well, even though they rode motorbikes inside and
heathens
and burnt, smoked it up on the lino. But
yeah,
incredible guys, you know, just amazing.
Sounds really uplifting
for a different side,
heart of mind, you know.
Yeah,
to be in a different environment.
Yeah, and Christian guys, you know, sometimes you think the Christian guys are wussy and that, but these guys were pretty hard on. I mean, his uncles, you know, they were good, hard workers and enjoyed a really good time. And
work hard, play hard.
Play hard, man. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's Chris would ride down to the Harley rallies in Christchurch, every year with them. And and like Esther sort of alluded to last time, you know, that all everything's racing. A competition.
Everything's
so you fill up with petrol as fast as you can and then you take off.
Oh, right.
Yep.
Last one to take off has to pay for the petrol.
Oh, right.
And then catch up.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That's ruthless. And then they would just ride as hard as they could for the day. And at the end of the day, we'd all play petong, and the loser would have to pay for that day's speeding tickets.
Actually.
And if police put their lights on, boy, they just put pedal to the metal. Let's go, 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 go.
Oh, man.
Just a disclaimer, we don't recommend this behavior.
I'm actually surprised. I couldn't ride as fast as them. I'm surprised that they haven't been killed. They just go very fast.
Oh, speeds.
Yeah. Anyway. Need the speed.
Mm.
Amazing. So when did you, Chris, when did you find God? So you said you was about 18, was it?
Yes. So I was sort of finishing my apprenticeship and in Gore in the weekend. Apprenticeship in painting and decorating. Yep. And so I had a total idiot of a boss as well. So another male role model was just a total idiot.
Yeah.
And so you just get out drinking. That's what you do in Gore on a Saturday night and a Friday night is drive around the centre parks and the domes in Gore and drink beer. And I remember one time sitting in the centre parks and in the back seat of a Zephyr Mark III Zephyr or something. And God really spoke to me. I wasn't saved, but I looked across to the car beside me and I was 18 and the guy was 30. And God said to me, you know, that'll be you if you don't get out. And so that night I got out of the car and just walked home and I was sick of that because it was just a dead end. And then across the road from our house, there was a New Life Church. And every Sunday night, because I'd been drinking on, you know, Saturday night and pretty weary by Sunday night, I look out the window and I could see people going in and out, laughing and carrying on. I was a bit like a moth drawn to the lights. And I thought, what the heck is going on over there? They seemed really happy. And we had a friend of ours who was a Catholic who got saved, and he went to that church. And every so often he would drop up and just visit us. And of course, you know, Dad had left home at that time there, and it was just Mum and the five children, or four boys, and my sister was married by then. And he would just come up and talk about anything. But we would always end up talking about God things. And I don't know why, but we were always asking these questions. And it's because we were hungry, but we didn't know that we were hungry.
Right.
And so I plucked up the courage one day, said, you know, can I go across there and see what it's like, you know? And then, so I went across there, and the first thing I noticed was the beautiful girls. I'm sorry, I'm 18.
Yeah, well, you're a bloke. You're 18, young 18, bloke. Yeah.
And they were beautiful girls, but they were really nice. I mean, in personality and this type of thing.
Yeah.
And so I ended up getting saved in that church there, you know. And the first time I went there, the Barry Buckley, the pastor there, it was like I was the only one in the room. He was just speaking to me, and I think I was there two or three times, and then I went and gave my life to the Lord.
Wow.
And got saved. Mm. And then the youth group was just wild. I mean, wild, good fun, you know.
Yeah.
Mm.
And we'd go to Queenstown.
Clean fun.
Clean fun, go to Queenstown. Thought they were going to kill us in cars and...
Maybe there's some skiing. Crazy uncles and gore as well.
Just skiing and really good fun. And I like that because you didn't have to drink alcohol or do stupid stuff, you know. I mean, we did stupid stuff, but it was good fun.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Just so really living life, eh?
Yeah.
That's what we need to do, yeah. And have clean, wholesome fun.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that's always up freeing in a sense. Does that make sense? Because if you always look at the bottom of a bottle just for your, you know, you can have...
That's what everyone else does.
Well, you can have a lot of fun for $20 with a bottle or wine. You know what I mean? Mm. But at the end of the... When you get to the end of the bottle, it's empty. Mm. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, and you're left with nothing really. It's empty.
Mm.
And culture will tell you that that's the only fun to be had.
Yeah.
Mm. Or, you know, that's the way to have fun.
Yeah, exactly.
They've got no idea. Young people have got no idea that there's sober fun to be had.
Yeah.
Mm.
And or how to have it. How to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, don't get me started on that.
Young people today. Yeah, well, I didn't mean to actually say, you know, like I'm not big, but anybody.
It's anybody today.
There's fun to be had
without
drugs or alcohol or
and I think too it's like I had I came out of a bad, really bad relationship, and one of my friends, well, they're kind of like a new friend, they're like, oh make sure you have your bottle of vodka under your bed.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not a good friend.
Yeah. So did you ask for that advice, Mark, or was that just given unsolicited?
No, they just gave it to me, you know. Yeah, I was really upset. So, but you know what I mean? It's easy to turn to things that will help you for a while, but they don't help you really at all.
No.
It just masks. This is a Band-Aid. Yeah. Band-Aid effect, you know.
Yeah. Festers all underneath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So it's... Yeah, we've got to really go to good people around us, and obviously we know go to God for sure, but often it's having those good people around us, those God people that are around us to pick us up as well, give us wisdom.
Mm.
Yeah.
Or just help us reshape our thinking into a different way.
And finding positive role models as well.
Yeah,
well, like you were saying, that's been a massive impact on your life, hey? Yeah.
Because, I mean, my uncles, you know, in Gore, I mean, it was always drink. You know, I had a number of family members that were alcoholics somewhere along the line. And that's all they knew. And that's what you're brought up in. And I feel sorry for young people today that are brought up in a really hostile environment, you know. And they need to get out of it, but it's hard to know how to get them out.
Yeah.
But you've shown that, you know, through your own life and testimony that you can get out of that environment, and you can rise above it, and you can change, and you can be different, right? And that is a hope for those that are stuck in that generations of alcoholism or abuse or whatever, that doesn't have to be your story and your children's story and your children's children's story. You know, the chain stops now.
Because Chris made a decision, that's not what I want.
Mm.
That would be me if I keep going down this path.
Yeah.
I'm going to get out of the car and walk home and not do that anymore.
Yeah. The hard thing for me living in Gore is when I got saved, on Friday night, we were just saying the other night that shops used to be open at 9 o'clock, you know, in most small towns. And so you'd walk around the centre of town seeing who was taking who out for a date or who was wearing clothes. You know, everyone you either went to school
everyone
with them.
Everyone knows everybody.
That's because there's only two blocks of shops. Yeah. So you walk around in a figure of eight till 9 p.m. and then you walk home.
That's what we used to do in the old days. But when I got saved, I got involved with YWAM as well, which was really good. And so what YWAM used to do is they used to go down to Gore in the main street and witness to people. So when I got saved and handing out tracts, I'd be witnessing to my schoolmates.
Everyone
That is really hard because everyone knows what you're standing for, you know, and, you know, Chris is gone religious or whatever, you know.
I don't think there's anything more harder than witnessing to your friends. Like strangers is way easier.
You're like, no judgment.
No, I'll probably never see you again. But witnessing to your friends or your family, that is the hardest thing.
Yeah, it's challenging. Now what about you, Melody?
That we're kind of polar opposites, really. I grew up in a Christian home, and both my parents and both sets of grandparents, at least on each side of the family, were Christians. So I have this sense of a real heritage of faith that I actually, I say to people, I feel like I walk in the favour of God, and it's not like everybody doesn't, but there's a scripture in the Bible that says that to the righteous, God puts his favour on them as if it's a shield.
Yeah, right.
And so I feel that in my life. It's not that dumb stuff doesn't happen or hard times don't come, but I feel like because of the heritage of faith that I was born into, I feel favour. So as a 4-year-old, I gave my heart to the Lord, understanding that my heart was black and Jesus was going to make it white, you know, after I had a fight with my brother.
Oh, really?
You know, and I'm like, my heart's so black, and I just, you know. So, you know, Mum led me in this little prayer, and I prayed and asked Jesus into my heart as much as I understood then.
Yeah.
And as you grow up, you know, you're not a 4-year-old anymore, and so you have different experience and you have different levels of encounter with God. And I think as you grow, and you know, right through our whole life, actually, we keep choosing God, and at any time we could walk away from God.
Yeah.
But particularly, you know, as I grow up through my teen years, I needed to keep choosing God, and I did. I had a really good friend who one time said to me, you know, you just haven't jumped off the cliff and abandoned yourself to God. You know, you're still staying safe. And and I had a little think about that, and I thought, actually, I haven't. You know, and this is when I was about 13. I thought, I actually haven't really done that. I abandon myself to you, God, and I fully give myself to you. And I think at that time I did, and I've never wanted anything else. I've never wanted to walk away from God, because life is just so rich with God, and and that relationship with him, that's very personal. It's not it's not just attending church and, you know, reading a book about God. It's you know, very personal relationship with him.
All right, that's podcast finished. That's good.
So that's good.
You know, there's just so much in that. You know, what both you just shared just now. You know, like, that's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And you know, I often think people who, you know, you say, "What's your testimony?" And people who have had a testimony of not being with God, and then at some stage, you know, their life is this massive radical change, you turn around and stuff, and you think, oh wow, that's such a awesome testimony. But I think, if I raise a family, what would I like them to have? The wild soul, wild side radical change God side, or the walk with God all their life? And I'm like, yeah, I pick that one. I pick the
latter.
Train them up in the way they will go, walk with God all their life. That's I think is a testimony that I would want for my children. And so I'm really, really, really honoured to have as my own testimony, because my parents raised me like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's very good. Anything you want to say, Esther?
Well, now that you've asked me. Well, I was just thinking like what you said, Mum. Like, I am the same. Mum and Dad brought me up in the ways of God, you know, and right. I walk that now. Yeah. And I haven't had a particularly wild life. But it is like what Mum said, you have to choose. You have to re-choose Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's picking your cross up daily. Mm. After you get saved, you have to keep choosing that, you know. Yeah. And it's a decision. And not that you, well, not that I think you get unsaved, but you have to keep choosing that and making those decisions. Mm. And that's not always a good thing, you know. And some, I mean, that is a good thing.
not always an easy thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And you sacrifice when you say no, when you say yes to God, you say no to other things. And when everyone else is saying yes to other things, that's really, really hard.
Mm.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, the things that God has in store and what he brings into your life far outweighs those things that you know that you're saying no to right now, but you just have no idea of all the other doors that have opened because you've said yes to God.
It's rich. It's absolutely rich.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah. I can feel the richness even just with you talking about it. So good.
And that's what I mean when I say I feel the favor of God.
Yeah, favor of God.
You know, like if you said, "Oh, who's God's favorite in this room?" I'd be the first to put my hand up and say, "Me." You know, I am His favorite. And when you say, "Who's your children's favorite?" it's something like, you know, it's like a saying. You're not supposed to have favorites, but God has a favorite, and it's me.
Oh, I love that.
You know, and you can say that too, and you can, you know, you can say it.
You can say that,
but I feel that. I feel like I'm God's favorite.
Yeah. That's what we say about all our kids, aren't they? They're all our favorites.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
And that's God's heart as well. We're all God's favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and He makes you feel that way.
It's beautiful.
Are you favored back?
Well, it's funny because on my fridge I've got it's a scripture from when Jacob was on his, I think he was close to his deathbed, but he was praying over all his family. And he talked of Joseph, and it's from the Message, but it talks about blessing upon him, about blessings coming from the sky from above and below.
Wow.
And,
yeah.
And the favor. So, so I have that on my fridge. Because it is, it's good to remind yourself that you are favored by God. Because, you know, sometimes I think, and I've been in this position too, where you think, is God against me?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't know if you've ever had that. I have had that before. Mm. And it's not a nice position to be in.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? Because then you feel like the whole world's against you.
Yeah.
And you start entering into more of a victim mentality, and that's not healthy.
I have no idea what life must be like without God, how hard that would be, you know, to just not have him. I have no idea how hard that would be, and no idea, you know, I don't want to experience that either, you know, but you know, it's,
it's probably more with my own mum. We'll kind of be talking, and then we always kind of resolve the conversation with, how do people live life without God? You know,
like, must be so hopeless and overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, when things get bad, you just say, oh, well, you know, it's in God's hands. And it's not dismissal, it's releasing of this is not my battle, you know, it's Jesus' and things. And I just feel like when a person without Jesus in their life who doesn't have, you know, Jesus as that safety net, that must be hard when there's no safety net. You get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to death, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's another biggie
when
as well.
When you're facing
or your friends loved ones or major things happen, you know, you lose a child or something like that, you got to give that to God and say, I don't understand, but, you know, I'm going to trust you.
I'll see you again.
Definitely.
There's definitely, I feel so much more sorrow at a funeral that I don't know if they've known the Lord than someone who I know, I'll see them again, you know,
It's
not finished. Yeah. And we say that because we're eternal beings and we have a spirit, we have a hope of life beyond death, and we have a hope of, you know, going somewhere when we die, and that's into the presence of God. But, yeah, someone who doesn't know where they're going or doesn't have a hope of anything beyond death, it's a bit desperate. How did we get to that? That was a little rabbit hole. Yeah,
it's amazing. I think sometimes too, it's probably why we don't script so much the podcast as well, is because sometimes I feel like God can lead us down somewhere. You know what I mean? That maybe someone needs to hear. You know, so I feel like we need to pray. Probably more so for people who go, maybe just had the question mark, like, oh, is the favor of God upon me? I'm not too sure. Maybe they need a revelation of that. I don't know. Would you guys, one of you like to pray? Is that okay?
Yeah, I'd love to. Father, we just, we're so grateful that you care about everything about our lives and you're aware of everything that goes on in our lives, Lord, the seen and the unseen. Every event that happens to us and everything that comes against us, Lord, you know. And when we need you, Father, we can call out to you and you hear us and you answer us. And you just want us to ask you the question. You want us to ask you to come and to help us and to come into our lives and be very present with us. And Father, we need on a daily basis to know that you're in a good mood toward us, because you always are. Father, I pray that you help us to know that your favor is towards us and upon us, and that your eye is always turned towards us with love, and that nothing we could do would make you love us any less. But Father, we don't have to deserve what you give to us. You give it to us freely. And so, Father, just by us turning our face towards you and asking you to reveal yourself to us, we know that you will, and we know that you will show us a path that you have for us, Lord, because you have a purpose and a plan for every one of us, and it's a good plan and a good purpose and a good end. And when we submit ourselves to you and when we walk with you, we can find that path, Father, to goodness and greatness. And Lord, you're able to do more than we could ever ask for. You're able to do more than we could ever think of, because you're greater than we are. And Lord, all we need to do is just say, help me, and I want you to come into my life. Lord, I just thank you for anybody listening today who would want to just do that with you, and we thank you, Lord, that you are there to help and to answer. And we just love you for that. Amen.
Amen. Good prayer, Mothership.
Really good prayer.
Thank you.
That's awesome. For you guys, there's been a move from the previous church, and you came over to Peak with bulk of the...
The peoples.
The peoples.
Yep.
Thank you, Esther. Saving me there.
Friends.
I was trying to get there. I'm like, my brain's running right ahead over my mouth. How's that been for you guys?
I'm quiet.
You can be honest.
I have found it tough, but I think just this year I'm starting to dwell, because I'm beginning to connect with people. I think what really connected me was the working bee, actually, we had recently.
Right.
Wow.
That's like a turning point for you.
A turning point because, I don't know what it was, it's hard to connect on Sunday because we're coming and going, and then Esther had a tea.
A dinner party.
Mm-hmm. With all her freaky friends.
Yes. New freaky friends.
I think I was one of them.
That's right, you were. Claim it.
You qualify.
I qualify. I fit right in there.
And I met some really, really neat people there from Peak Vision. And then again, just connecting with them at the working bee, where you can actually talk and joke and work together side by side. So that has really, I was hanging on by a thread, but now those two things have thrown out another thread, and I've managed to bind them together and make the rope stronger. So I found it hard to start off with, but I'm really growing into it now, and we're doing a meal at our house this week.
Right.
And we're inviting...
With his freaky friends.
This is called the cross-pollination meal.
Oh, right.
We're going to cross-pollinate each other.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And so, we'd love to invite everyone, but we can't, so we've invited a few from the old gathering place and some new Peak Vision people, and we're going to get to know each other, because I've met some really, really top people from Peak Vision and really impressed. And
so we've had we've decided to be very deliberate about...
Intentional.
Oh, thank you.
The bingo word.
Intentional about making new friends and moving in new circles, and being deliberate about, or intentional about, blending our old friends and our new friends. And I guess it's something that we do quite naturally and quite easily, is bring people together. And so in our home, and so that's just what we have decided to do. And so we're bringing people together who we don't know very well, but also who may not know each other very well. And if we set up a competition, then then they get to know each other, and personalities come out, and it's just that's sort of all we can think of doing, you know, is just making a choice to be proactive and actually bring people together.
And you guys see that so well.
Thank you.
I know the times that I've been there, like, you guys are so personable. You know what I mean? Like, and just take time to have conversation and things like that. I think the last time I was at your place, like, we talked a little bit. Talked a bit, you and I. And it was good. Came away again. It was really engaging.
I really like those guys.
I've liked you guys for a while. You're just really gifted in being that catalyst for people to meet and to mingle and to get to know each other. And I think you guys, they're gifted.
I think if you do what is easy for you to do, like what you're gifted to do, then God uses you with the gift that he gave you, you know. And so, like, it doesn't seem like very much to us to just have people for a meal.
Yeah, right.
But that's kind of, it feels like the easy thing to do, but it's the right thing to do.
That's good. Well, I'm looking forward to this weekend. I'm excited.
Right.
I might make up a game just for you.
What's that one of the bottle?
I've got a thing with games. When I was a kid, I was about probably 11, I think. 11 or 12. Mum and Dad bought this game. It was like a bit of a Christian type game. And they're like, oh, this would be really good for you. And I'm like, I didn't want to play it and stuff like that. And they're like, oh, my
questions
might
about
change.
The Bible or something.
Yeah, I was kind of a little bit like that, but about life.
Yeah. Game of life.
And then, the game got me bad. I was like, ended up bursting into tears over this one question I had and stuff like that. And so here I am, you know, I was like,
You get out a little box of questions and you get anxiety.
Yeah, I do.
And I think actually when we handed around our box of questions at the last dinner party, you got a real deep one.
Yeah, I did. I got real doozy. I was like, oh, this would be right. I always get ambushed.
So funny.
That's, so what we're going to do this time, we hand the questions around, is that you get handed a question. You're not allowed to read it. Because people were reading them, so I know I don't want to answer this one and put it back. So we're going to say you're going to get one down, don't read it. Wait till all the questions around.
Yeah.
Then you're going to read it, and you've got like 30 seconds to come up with an answer.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Or maybe you could hand them out one by one.
One by one.
And so, here you
for
go.
All this our listeners who've got no idea what we're talking about, we bought a box of Christmas conversation starters. And, or, you know,
something that sits on the coffee table.
It's just a little sticks you pull out of the box, and they've got questions. Most of them are Christmas themed, like, you know, what's the best Christmas present you ever had, or something like that. But you can buy conversation starters, and it's just really, really good for people who don't know each other to get to know each other. Yep. And some people will share on a really deep level.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some people will just make a joke of it, and it either is fine.
Yeah. And if you don't have the conversation starters, we actually have this, we learnt this, how to hold a conversation with someone.
Oh.
So you've got to get them to talk about themselves. So the first thing you do is you ask them, what is their name? Right? Mm-hmm. And so there's a picture that you can picture to remember the flow of questions. So you imagine their name on a nameplate. So you say, what is your name? Then you can say, what does that mean? Where does that come from? Everything related to a name.
Yeah.
Then a name goes on a nameplate on a house. So you ask them, where do you live? Who do you live with? Where is your family? Mm. All that kind of thing. And then inside the house, there is a clock. All right. So you ask them, how do you spend your time? What's your hobbies? What do you enjoy doing? And then on the clock arms, you imagine something like a tennis racket. Do you play any sports? You know, do you like anything like that? And then the tennis racket flies off the clock handle and goes into an aeroplane. And you say, do you travel? Do you like traveling? Have you gone overseas anywhere? And by the time you get through those roughly five topics, you can cover hours when you just keep stringing questions at a person about themselves, right? Because they're experts. Everyone is an expert on themselves. There's no shortage of information.
Yeah, true.
And this, you know, when people talk about themselves, the happy spot, they won't stop coming out with answers. Though I have run through like all those questions in a matter of like 2 minutes for some people. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, well, I tried.
You gave it a good will.
Yeah, I gave it a good will. Yeah. Yeah.
But the really
that's
really
enough
good
about
thing.
You. Let's talk about
yeah. And then you just tell all your own stuff.
Yeah. Load them up.
Yeah. The really good thing is that if they ask you a question, then you can throw a question back at them. They don't know that you're doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they don't so they, know.
It's like playing tennis, question, ping pong, yeah. Ping pong.
Yeah. So if they ask you a question, do you want to answer? You just say, oh, yeah. Well, what do you do for a job? You
know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And and people feel good when you get to know them, you know?
Yeah.
When you take the chance to know, oh, your parents are from here and you used to play hockey, but now you play tennis and blah, 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 and you get past your shallow, well not shallow, but your small talk.
Oh, you're a musician. Do you write songs?
Yeah.
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 Da, da, da. You get into people's motivations and what really motivates them and what's their passions and things, and they'll, you know, that'll come out. And it's lovely to hear people's stories.
It is. Yeah.
You have to learn to be a really good listener, though.
Yeah. It's really hard sometimes.
It's hard not to just jump in. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of reaching people on a deeper level. I think that's what you did with me on that the other that Saturday night.
Yeah.
Because I had a long day. I was like, because I got there and got myself a little ginger beer, sat in one of your seats out in the day room there. And
I can't even remember it.
I was like, oh, man, so good to just sit down. And then I think, and I was kind of at the point of like, I really don't feel like doing conversation right now.
Yeah.
But I think I talked to a few people and ended up talking to you for a while. Mm. And I was like, I enjoyed that, walked away. Going, yeah, this was a good night. That was cool.
Because we technicanized you.
Technicanized.
You fell into our trap.
Yeah. He guts you.
If he didn't get you, one of us would have.
Yeah.
The force is strong in this one.
Yeah, yeah. The three amigos come to our dinner parties.
We have all these sayings off movies that we say at home, you know.
Yeah. Lots
I'm
of
father.
These are not the droids you were looking for.
Do you use that, Chris? Do you?
I say to
Stephanie, I am your father.
No, he's just one of his workers.
I say to my female worker, young lady Stephanie working for me, and I always say, I am your father. You wish.
That's awesome. Wow, that's very cool. Have you got any questions you want to ask your folks? Do you think about that?
Yes, definitely.
What's your PIN number?
Who ate my Easter egg?
Which one was the head?
For real?
No.
Oh, right.
No, I can't think of any.
Okay, that's all good.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Well, you didn't have much time to get proof for this. It was just thrown upon you.
No, she didn't. No. Yeah.
I actually had a little panic though when I saw Dad walk in because I didn't see Mum walk in.
I didn't just see him.
Did you think just a little wrong? Bit?
Yeah, I was like,
well, you jumped on your I'm like, it's okay.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, Dad's here by himself. This is really weird. I was like, maybe he's come to tell me some bad news. I was like, oh, I'll just go and see him. Yeah. Give me a little.
Yeah, you got a bit panicky.
Yeah. Bad news, your parents are coming to the podcast.
No.
We just bought your suitcases. You're leaving home.
Yeah, I would say, well, I bought it home and they have not had any mail boarders.
We can get Alistair back.
Maybe we'll have a little thing.
Okay, Esther's not doing sign language, but she's like giving her dad a wave.
Yeah. Cut.
I think I'm in trouble.
Did we mention that Esther's single?
We can find a border.
Yes, anyway, so to wrap up this podcast.
Yeah, okay.
Back to you, Mark.
Well, we'd like to say thank you so much for coming on and just sharing your words of wisdom and also praying with us as well.
Thanks, Matt.
And just your thoughts. Mm. But we'd love to have you back again.
Yes, definitely.
One week when the mics are off. Yeah, just pretend.
No, it's been amazing. So thank you. And just being so open-hearted as well to be able to share thank all you. Of that
to
our friends that listen. So, yeah, it's really good.
It's awesome.
So, thanks,
thank
Esther.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. Thank you, Mark. Just you wait. I'll arrange some guests coming on up.
Good fun.
Yeah, good. George right. and Mildred, eh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this is goodbye from Mildred.
Goodbye from George.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you on the next episode.
Yeah. See you later.
Okay.
Bye.
See ya. Love you. Bye. AO is brought to you by Peak Vision Church, Hawke's Bay, New Zealand. For more information on AO, go to all1.nz or check out our church website, peakvisionchurch.co.nz. We'll see you on the next episode.